This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 257 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
God, 257. My name is John, by the way.
I know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
That my name is John? Absolutely.
No, the 257 episodes.
That too, yes.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
Did you watch some stuff this week?
Not much. I watched our shows, I watched a couple new shows, but I only watched one movie.
Well, you watched 100% more movies than I did.
Wow. I mean, I normally watch more than one movie.
Yeah, you normally watch like several many movies.
Yeah, so, but I only got one in this week.
Yep. The week got away from me a bit, and weather was nice, so that helped as well.
Yeah, I spent more time outside.
Yep.
I worked a lot on my book. A lot this week. My wrestling book.
Yep.
And so because of that, I wasn't watching programs or shows or movies or anything. Focusing on getting that done and getting, you know, so I just ordered my proof copies. Hopefully those will come in a few days.
Gotcha.
Or week, 10 days, whatever it is. And then I can, you know, really, really give it a look over. And yeah.
Cool.
So I'm pretty excited about that, actually.
I can imagine.
Yep. Yep.
Came together quickly.
Huh?
Came together quickly.
I started working on it last May, so it's actually been like a really long time.
About a year. I mean, there are people out there that write books in a lot longer.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That is true. But, yep.
So, why don't we dive on in?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, let's see. The most recent one that I watched, I'll just say, was Staged.
I watched one episode.
Yes, which was episode 2, correct?
No, we talked about 1 and 2 last week. I watched episode 3.
Okay.
Did which you watch day? Episode 3?
No, I watched number 2.
Oh, we talked about 1 and 2 last week, I thought.
Yeah, well, episode 1 was weird because it was almost like two separate episodes.
But it was still only like a half an hour long.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had only watched that one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I watched episodes 1 and 2 last week, and then I watched episode 3.
Gotcha.
This week.
So I'm an episode behind now.
Okay.
Getting at here. That would be the crux of the argument here.
Yeah, it did feel like two episodes, that first one.
Yeah.
Because of it,
the beginning theme. Part of it was the Skype interview in TV show, and then
yeah.
They jumped into something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for this next week, I guess I will watch episode 3 and 4. That way you can watch
episode
4 and then we'll be all caught up.
Okay, yep, we'll do that then, which will put us halfway through.
Yeah. Episode 2, briefly, I'm sure you touched upon it last week, was just where they got Simon on the phone and found out that literally everybody else was keeping their job except for Michael and David.
Yes.
The two being recast, and they kind of went apeshit on him. I mean, it was cool watching Michael try to talk David down and be like, no, no.
Yeah. And it was good. Because of Michael being the reasonable one, which was funny.
Right, exactly.
It's usually... Until Simon asks them to meet with the guys that they have, the potential people to replace them, and then Michael lost his shit.
Well, he was okay with it until he was like, maybe you could give them some notes on, you know, how to play you. And that's when he was like, fuck you!
I think we need to talk to our agents from this point on. Click.
Yeah. I didn't even know that he has agents.
Yeah, it was good. Wait till you watch episode 3 then and see the duo they got that they're working with that are potential replacements for them.
Oh, yes, I can't wait.
Do you want me to tell you, or do you just want to see
it?
Yes,
please do. I'll
tell you one of them.
You sounded like you really wanted to tell me. That's why I was saying.
I do really want to tell you. I'll say one of them and see if you can figure out the next one.
Okay.
Simon Pegg.
And Nick Frost?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I figured if I gave you one, you would figure the other one out.
That is brilliant. Look nothing like them at all.
Yep.
Wow, that is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good episode. You'll enjoy the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious. I'm looking forward to watching more. Like, it's a fun show. It's a short show. It's a fun show.
It's very, very, very aware of it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So.
But yeah, I like it. I like those guys. I like the show. It's just great.
Yep. So, Resident Alien.
For some reason, I thought this was going to be the final episode. Then I was like,
I did too. I was 100% thought it was going to be the final episode, but
okay,
it's not.
It's me.
No, it's not. I don't know when. I don't know how many episodes they have. Apparently,
I'm pretty sure there are only 10.
Well, that'll be this week then, this Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep.
So in this episode called "Welcome Aliens," which is hilarious. So I love when Astra's like, Astra's like, I got to change the bandage on your leg, and she takes the blanket off, and his leg is regenerating, so it looks like an octopus leg, and of course she's freaked out about it. But he's like, what? What's wrong with my leg? That's, what did he call it? That's, legism, but basically it's like, you know, your body, your leg shaming me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's leg shaming. And then he picks up a piece of bacon with a leg, and she's like, oh, just stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His people are evolved from octopuses.
Yes. Yep. So he needs to find a piece of alien technology because his radio, quote fingers, is broken. So he needs to to find a piece of radio of alien technology so that he can fix it. Mm-hmm. And they decide to go to the only place where there might be some real alien technology, and they go to a alien convention.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe miss conventions.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah. So it's hilarious watching him walk through the convention. I love the very beginning when he's like, is that what when these people in alien costumes walk by him? And he goes, Is that what they think I look like? And she's like, yeah. And he goes like, this is cultural appropriation. This is inappropriate. She's like, tell me about it, you know, so I thought that was funny.
I liked when they were pointing out the different types of aliens there were, and he had like commentary on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, they're actually very nice. One of them owes me money.
Yeah. And the green ones, they're adorable, and they know it. I like it when they, you know, the crazy guy from the History Channel with the hair that they keep showing that talks
Giorgio
about aliens.
Sokolos.
Yeah, he had a guest appearance on this as himself. So I thought that was hilarious.
Yep.
And then we get Terry O'Quinn, who's an alien tracker.
I was so sad. We kind of got his story in the beginning.
Yeah, his story was the cold open.
Yeah, 30 years ago, there was him and his pregnant wife, very pregnant wife, were on a bus. Blue beam hit the bus. It took them up in the air. Him and his wife could still move around, but everybody else was like frozen in time. And then they were dropped back down, but she was no longer pregnant. And so he's been tracking aliens all this time because he wants to find his child.
Yep.
And Harry was very mean to him. I mean, like, honest, but he's like, yeah, they already got what they needed from you. And he's like, but if you take the tracker out, then they won't come back. He goes, they're not coming back. And then proceeds to remove the tech from him.
Yep. So, and like earlier, they're at a, like a, where people go up and talk about the experiences. And this one girl goes up and she talks about her experience of being abducted and how she has a tracker in her arm and there's the x-ray to prove it and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when Harry goes to cut it out of her, she admits it's a BB and that she's lying for the attention.
Yep.
But Astra gets up and tells her story of seeing Harry's UFO crash, you know, breaks up with her boyfriend, goes outside, sees it streaking through the sky, took it as a sign. So
she's trying to basically say maybe not all aliens are bad.
Yes, that's true.
And everyone's looking at her like, what's wrong with you, woman?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he gets the device cut out of Terry O'Quinn's character, and they leave. In the interim, the two people hunting Harry, you know, they're the crazy woman there and her boyfriend, or not boyfriend, but a coworker who they're posing to be husband and wife. They go meet with Max's parents to try to get closer to Max. She finds the piece of alien tech that was in Max's room.
Gives Sheriff, a very lame reason.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I just we can't have, can't have yeah. kids. Yeah.
I just, it's so nice to be around children's things. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, you can babysit him whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. So Big Black manages to use his deputy's murder board and figures out that Sam's, the doctor that was murdered in the first episode, his wife is the one who poisoned him because she was having an affair.
Yep. Now, that seemed to wrap up very easily. I kept waiting for it to turn out that it was actually, like, that was a misdirect or something. But now it seems that everything's all done with that.
Yep. And probably in the most awkward, awesome scene is when he goes to the karaoke bar. And he and his deputy live there. They have a duet of Wind Beneath My Wings, where he kind of proposes by getting down on one knee and presenting her with her badge if she'd go come back and be his deputy. And she accepts. And she's like, yeah, I'm going back to the force, people. We're not getting married. Yeah. And then the last story basically is Darcy breaks into Harry's cabin. And while she's snooping around, she opens the freezer in the basement and finds the real Dr. Vanderspiegel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for this week's episode. Very, very excited.
So I will say this, like, if you go on IMDb, it says that there are 11 episodes.
Oh,
this
nice.
This was episode 9. Well, no, because this was episode 9, but then it only lists episode 10 beyond that. It says Heroes of Patience, and it's coming out 31st of March. But then you can see that there's season 2, and if you click on that, then it shows you episode 1 hasn't come out yet. So that's why there's 11 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm excited it got renewed for a second season.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing further adventures.
And oh, me too.
I hope they don't, like, you know how sometimes shows are like, oh, we got renewed for another season, so we're going to up the ante and we're going to do bigger and better. No, just keep doing what you're doing. It's great.
It's why I liked the first Matrix, but not parts 2 and 3.
Mm.
The first one was good. It was down and dirty, if you will. And, you know, it was a great film. And then they made all kinds of money. So they said, now let's see what we can do in 2 and 3 and go bigger and better. And to me, it just ruined them.
Yeah. We didn't need a giant orgy in the beginning.
Yeah, that seemed unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This Is Us was excellent this week, I thought. Did you get around to watching it?
Yes. The all Nikki all the time.
I loved it. The story was just about Nikki and getting the invitation to go to his great niece and nephew's christening.
Mm-hmm.
And because the last episode, it shows up with him, Nikki, you know, showing up at the end and being like, hey, I'm here. And then this episode is the whole story of what he went through to get there. Like, yeah, he had to completely get out of his comfort zone. You know, he got his vaccinations. He made those amazing snow globes for them.
Oh, I felt bad.
Oh, yes. He got over, and I thought when he got to the airport and he started getting overwhelmed and they wouldn't let him take the snow globes, but she was like, we can mail them to you. And he's like, no, I need them. And he tried to open them to pour the water out and he drops them both and breaks them. And I thought he was going to say F it and just go home, but obviously he didn't because, you know, we already know he's there. But
which, by the way, I know that there's that rule about fluids and stuff like that, but this seemed like a particularly ridiculous enforcement of that rule.
Yeah, it did.
You know, there's snow globes and they could have gone in a checked bag. Like, I didn't see why they were like, no.
Yeah. But at the same time, so we'll mail these for you. No, they won't.
No.
But, it's just everything he went through, getting out of his comfort zone, you know, because he felt like he had to be there. We get all the great flashbacks.
He got injected twice. He made sure to tell them that.
Yeah, he got his shots. He quarantined before leaving. You know, he just he wanted to be there. And and then once he got there, he felt overwhelmed, you know, because it was all too much. And he's like, you know, well, they can't call you grandpa. Maybe they can call you bump. And he's like, and I like it. He's like, call me Uncle Nicky. Don't call me grandpa. You know, just Uncle Nicky's good.
Right.
But we got to see, like, him younger, his relationship with that girl where he almost ran off to Woodstock and ran off to California with her. But then he stayed behind because of his mom.
I was really waiting to get some kind of a reveal that Cassidy is actually his daughter.
Oh, yep.
Because they had lots of sex and then she took off and he stayed.
Yep,
and if she had a child out there in the California way.
But I just thought it was a really great episode. Kind of like a really great redeeming story for Nicky, if you will. Kind of like coming to terms with his broken relationship with his brother.
So. Yep. Because we got to see lots of that interspersed in there where, you know, he didn't show up for Jack and didn't, you know, get himself out of his comfort zone. And so this episode, One Small Step, we don't get another one until April 6th, and that will be the season 5 finale.
Oh, seriously? Already?
That's what it looks like. Season 5, episode 12, Both Things Can Be True.
Let's see here. Well, 18. All the other seasons had 18 episodes.
Yeah, all the other seasons didn't take place in COVID.
I think
that's probably, you know, snipped it a little bit short as a result. I mean, this is all just IMDb, but it only shows the 12th episode, and then it goes right to season 6. So,
let's see here. Oh, well, I guess we'll figure it out.
Yes.
Guess we'll find out. I mean, not figure it out. I guess we'll find out.
It's like, we figured it out. It's figured. That was a very good episode. Speaking of good episodes, basically giving credit where it's due, we had the 2-episode series finale of Superstore.
Yep.
And as you had said in your note to me, you know, they did it right.
They really did. They really did.
It was still Superstore, so there was still some cheesiness, but we got a nice actual, like, Scrubs-like send-off.
We had Amy was back, of course, for episode 14, which was called The Perfect Store, and it's where she's trying to help save the store so that way they don't close this Cloud 9 location, because they're keeping some open, but they're closing the majority, 95% of them.
Right.
So she shows up to try to help, you know, influence a change, but she doesn't want the person from corporate there who's checking out the store to know that she's there.
Right.
And so they're going to, you know, reject weird customers. They get actors to play door greeters. you know, they increase flour supply. They do all kinds of stuff. But of course, being Superstore, they find a bag of severed feet.
Yeah.
8 of them in a duffel bag.
Because that's how it works with them.
Yep. And Glenn's reaction is to build a circle of 12 packs of soda around it so they're not disturbing the crime scene. But then again, they can just get through this, you know, this audit, if you will. But of course, Marcus comes and finds the feet when he's like, why is there a soda display in Housewares? I was going to move it. And then he freaks out about the feet and they got to call the police. And Jonah tries
like full Marcus by like not just freaking out, but then like yelling at everybody and being like, this is the one thing that I will always think of when I come in this store from now on. And like,
oh, yes. Over the top.
Full on over the top Marcus.
Yeah. But of course, in the end, the auditor, if you will, basically says they're going to keep the store, but they're going to make it a Zephra fulfillment center.
Yep.
Because it's got a great locale. It's got a great this and that. But don't worry, Amy, you'll still have your job. But she quits her job.
Yeah.
In corporate, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And then episode 15, All Sales Final, is 1 month later.
Uh-huh. Basically, the store is closing down. They're going through the, you know, process of liquidation. I've been through this before.
You've experienced that, yeah.
I definitely, I understood it, but also at the same time, I'm like, when they quote-unquote closed the store, when they were like, yep, this was it, there was still a lot of stuff on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And that's probably just set dressing, but no, like, when those stores close, everything is gone. The things that aren't sold are immediately put on trucks to go to other stores to sell. And if all of them are going out of business, then yeah, that stuff should have been sold for like pennies just to get it out.
Yep.
But yeah, this, like, again, they did a really good job, but at the same time, it was some of the cringe stuff that has always, you know, made Superstore less than what it could be. Garrett is basically being a tough guy kind of thing. Not like, you know, I don't care, but he's got the legitimate attitude. He's like, this was a shitty job. Why are you guys getting so bent out of shape about it? Like, why do you care that it's your last day or that, you know, he's like, we're all just going to move on in our lives. And then he starts to realize that, no, this is mental autism because he's been there for 20 years.
We got to see Glenn apparently had secretly taped all of their interviews and
just in case,
just in case,
that, you know, yeah, he asked for sexual favors in order to hire them.
Yeah. And so we get to kind of relive or go through a montage of their old interviews. So I thought that was great. I love Dina's. And yeah, how he basically, Glenn hated birds or made the comment of how they're disgusting, et cetera, et cetera. And Dina's like, I think we need to change the subject.
Yeah, because she worked at Cheesecake Factory and she was like, oh, I remember you. And she like listed off his order. He's like, wow, that's amazing. And she's like, yeah, I worked at whatever, like Petco for a while there in the bird section. Oh, birds are terrible. I can't understand somebody who would own birds or rats with wings. Gross. And she's just like deadpan staring at him like she wants to murder him. She's like, yeah, I think we need to change the subject. Loved it. I love seeing Garrett in a full three-piece suit and a head of hair.
Yep.
Oh, it was great. But yeah, so they got to watch those and it kind of gave everybody nostalgia. Everybody talked about how hot Amy was back then. And they're like, you can't say that. And they're like, well, it was back then. She was a teenager back then. Well, so was I, so it doesn't count. Yeah, it kind of does. But basically, the cringe part was that Amy decided she wanted to be with Jonah. And she kind of gave him this speech where she was like, hey, you know, suddenly I had all these options in life and I had all these opportunities and I could do whatever I wanted for the first time. And so I wanted to get out there and experience and see what I wanted to do. And, you know, it took being out there for me to realize that what I really want is to be with you. And she couldn't even finish that because Jonah's like, you know what? I don't know what I want right now, but it's not this. So, see ya.
Yeah. But, of course, we know what happens in the end.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, they're destined to be together. So, by the end, after her watching that video and seeing Jonah come in and say that, you know, he is ambitious and blah, 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 and he's just going to be here for a couple of months. She comes out on the floor and she's like, hey, every job that you've ever had, you've only been there for like a couple of months. You've bailed on everything. He's like, yep. She's like, but you were here for 6 years. And he's like, yeah, well, it's a good job. She's like, no, it's a shitty job. Why were you here? He's like, why do you think? And basically, he was there for her, and they reconcile and kiss. And, you know, then we get the very nice flash forward where we get to see, you know, Dina is now the manager of the fulfillment center, and Sandra is her assistant manager with, you know, basically the reject squad.
Yeah, Marcus, Justine.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're all having barbecues at Glenn's place because Glenn reopened Sturgis and Sons, and he brought Cheyenne and Mateo because they're hard workers and he can work with them. You know, Jonah and Amy are together and have a new baby to go with the old baby who, you know, seems a little old to be sleeping in the same room with a baby, but
that does seem. But Jonah's running for city council.
Yeah.
Amy's got another executive job. And of course they got married, and Dina and Garrett are a couple.
Yeah.
But this was all done, and this is why I think it would help, is Garrett gets on the PA, you know, does the announcement of, all right, the store's closed, everybody. See ya. And then he goes, comes back and says, you know what? That's not the way to go. And then he has this nice narrative where he talks about the store and the people he worked with and on and on. And as he's talking, giving his narrative or his monologue or whatever, that's when we see the, you know, the montage of what everyone's doing and as time goes by. So it was just, it was done very well. And I'm glad I stuck around to see the end of this final episode, because it was a very, very, very good final episode.
It was. And I really liked the closure. I liked that they got to go out on their own terms, and that, you know, we got the last, you know, the cheers kind of thing where they were like, Cloud Nine is now closed, and all the lights shut off, and the end.
So, Young Rock.
Young Rock.
It's just a show. There's nothing really anything special about it. The ratings seem to be going down each week.
Yep.
If it wasn't if it wasn't the fact that it was wrestling related, I probably wouldn't still be watching it, to be honest.
Oh, me either.
Yeah.
And I'm not as big of a wrestling fan as you, but I do like that tie-in and the fact that it's loosely based on, you know, real stuff. Like, I'm sure that a lot of it's embellished. But, you know, this episode, we even got his real mom on the show.
Yes, at the end. Yep. But no, it's just not very good.
No, and he's not the type of protagonist that you actually want to root for most times. Like, I was glad that in this episode he actually, you know, came clean with his mom at the end, and he's like, hey, you know what, I was gonna sneak out tonight, but I don't want to, because, you know, I don't want to disappoint you, basically.
Yep.
So I was glad that he went that route. But yeah, overall, he's a whiny teenager, or he's a whiny, you know, young adult.
I got to look good. I got to be dressed nice so that I can get a girl, because girls are great.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it wasn't for wrestling, the wrestling tie-in, it's not very good. It's just not very good, quite frankly.
Yeah. And like you said, the ratings are going down. So
yeah,
we don't seem to be the only ones thinking that way.
Well, no, like, it opened up with a 6.7. Like, that's a big rating. And then the most recent episode that they have the complete rating on was a 4.19. So, I mean, it's already dropped 2.5 points. That's a big drop.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, anyways, like I said, I'll watch the next one, but you can't see me, but I'm shrugging my shoulders.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way about New Amsterdam. It's a show. It's on. I've watched it, but I don't get a huge, like, oh my god, this episode was so good, like, with any of them. It's just more like, it's on.
Well, it's funny, because the first episode coming back, we both really liked.
It was phenomenal. Like,
over the moon for it. And you're right, since then it seems like it's gone more and more, not downhill, but just like plateaued.
Like, yeah, kind of dip down, and then it's just kind of like riding it out. It's not getting worse, but it's definitely not the level that it was.
No. I mean, like this episode, you know, the big story was one of the nurses, he gets beat up in the ER by a patient who's out of control. And they don't have any security, and they need to get security. So what's her face? Dr. Bloom decides that she's going to get the local police to be the security in the ER, in the ED, because, and by the way, I hate it when companies change the name of something. It's been the emergency room called the ER forever. And then all of a sudden now, oh, it's the emergency department. So it's the ED. I mean, the erectile dysfunction department. No, I just, I hate it when they change stuff like that. It's very annoying. But anyways, so because Dr. Bloom runs the ED, so she's going to have paid details for police officers to be there. And no one that works there other than her likes it or feels safe, and they don't want them there, and on and on and on. And so after they've played their case to her, she decides she's going to get rid of them, which she does. But then what I liked about it the most was there's that one patient that's yelling and refusing to listen. And so she goes and stands,
drunk off his ass.
Oh yeah. So she goes and stands up to him and, you know, to put him in his place. And all of a sudden, you know, he puts his mask back on and sits down, and she turns around, and there's that, you know, that the patient, he is a patient himself, but he's huge. And he's standing there behind her with his arms crossed. And she was like, you got that statue thing down, don't you?
Well, that's the thing is, like, it should have been a no-brainer from the get-go. Because he told her, that patient told her right at the beginning. He was like, healthcare is hard to find. I'm an out-of-work bouncer because of COVID. There's a lot of us out there who are out of work because the clubs aren't open. Like, and it took her until now to go, wait a minute.
Yep. But I thought that was hilarious, though. Like, she turns around and he's just standing.
Yeah, she thought that she was tough. She was like, yeah, I put that guy in his place. And he's like, nope, there is a large man behind you who will probably beat my ass.
And when Dr. Reynolds, when he gets back from picking up his daughter with that experience, and the guy's got are you on the list? What? Are you allowed in? No, he's with me. He's okay. Oh, all right. And then he's talking to her. And the other about, is this gentleman bothering you? So I thought that was great. I mean, that was the best part of the episode. Otherwise, the rest of it, I could just.
Yeah. I didn't like Max's story with, you know, going to get Luna and bring her home.
Yeah.
You know, they had to really play up that the grandparents are rich and that, you know, mama here. Oh, stop it.
Oh, I know. That was just garbage.
You know, basically saying that, you know, oh, maybe she would be better off here because, you know, she's so well taken care of and the spirit of her mother is here. And, you know, he sees the pictures of his dead wife on the wall and it kind of shocks him. And you think when they're driving down the road and she looks all depressy, you know, you think that he's going to take her back to grandma and grandpa's. But instead he goes to the graveyard. And he's like, hey, we haven't been to visit you for a while. So, you know, she doesn't really understand that this is where you are, but I kind of needed to come see you. And then he still brings her home and he's like, hey, this is our room. You going to be okay? And she's like, yeah, dad, here. And I'm like, stop it.
I know. See, that's the shit. Just didn't care for it myself.
Yeah. Dr. Helen's half brother is in trouble. We only get part of the story because she's so closed off. And basically he dies. Like, we've never met him. He dies off screen because she couldn't get him over here in time.
Well, he dies off screen and she was trying to be friendly with him, but he died unexpectedly. We don't know why he died.
Right.
But because of his religion, he had to be buried by sunset. And so she wasn't going to make it there in time for his funeral. And that was her big panic through the whole episode.
Right.
So,
and then Dr. Reynolds, you know, he moved back to this place and he doesn't have a place because it used to be his department.
Yep.
And so now he's just a surgeon. I mean, he's a phenomenal surgeon, but he's just
exactly.
Like, they don't have a place for him. They've already divvied up all the spots and he's like, well, I can help with anything. And no, nobody really needs you.
Surgeries have already been planned for that day. Nobody knew he was coming back and he was kind of expecting a hero's welcome return, but no one knew he was going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it just, you're, like you said, it's not something that I'm looking forward to each week like I thought I was going to after that first episode.
Well, it's almost kind of like, all right, it's a weird comparison, but I'm going to compare it to The Simpsons. So I put it on Hulu, and it's like, oh, Simpsons 700 episode was on. I'm like, fuck it, I'll watch that. So I throw it on. It was terrible. And I'm like, how is this still on? Why do people still like this?
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't good.
No.
It wasn't good.
It's definitely not what it used to be.
Yeah. I watched The Conners this week as well. That was another great episode. I really like what they're doing with the show. I have no idea how many episodes we're going to get this season. But it's fun, and I like it.
I watched the first episode of season 2 of Solar Opposites, because that's back on Hulu.
Oh, I saw that. How was it?
It was great. They kind of upped the story, and they introduced a new idea that it wasn't just that, you know, the whole narration in the beginning says that that their planet was great, and then an asteroid came and destroyed the planet, and so like 100 of them escaped with their replicants and a pupa each, and they're supposed to go to uncivilized planets, and the pupa will terraform it to make a new planet for them. And so in this one, we get introduced to the idea that, oh, there was a rich class on that planet, and they knew that this was coming, so they got like a 30-day heads up, and they all headed out and landed on other planets to wait for the worker drones to come along and terraform it for them so they could go back to being rich. Dicks.
Yeah, and, seems like what rich people would do.
Yep. And so it's a fun show. It's very crass and over the top, but I'm enjoying it.
What'd you think of Debris this week?
Loved it.
Me too. Really good episode.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, it really is. So a big piece of debris basically changes the environment with which it is kind of encompassing, so that people are now like these people that are in this. That were in this bubble that this debris made, it somehow mutates them. So now that they're breathing chlorine instead of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And when the people on the outskirts are too far away, or they get outside the bubble, and they're suffocating to death because there's no chlorine for them to breathe.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So it mutates the atmosphere too. That's the important part.
Mutating the atmosphere. Yep. Sorry. Yes. So
inside of there, all the air is no longer oxygenated. It's chlorine based, and that's causing like different kinds of plants to grow. It's changing the entire. But they basically realize that it's starting to grow. The sphere of influence is starting to grow, so it could end up terraforming the planet. And they don't want that. I don't know why they don't want that, but, you know, they don't want it.
So they have to deactivate the debris. But if they do that, it's going to kill everybody who now are relying on breathing on chlorine instead of oxygen.
Yep.
So they decide, I don't know how they do this, but they're going to put all the people that are, they're going to put them in some sort of stasis.
It was another piece of debris that wasn't in one of the episodes, but it's kind of nice because it's establishing that, you know, we're not seeing all the debris that is picked up. Yep. So they're like, hey, remember there was a mission and they picked up that one piece that can put people into that suspended animation kind of thing. It basically freezes them in place.
Okay. And essentially that's what they do. But of course, there's another story where there's a guy who is on a business trip. His whole family's inside, his wife and his two kids. And, you know, they're trying
not really
to
his kids. He's their uncle.
But they were calling him Papi and stuff. That's
they
why
were,
I probably got confused.
And he loved that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he decides he's going to. So Fiona basically tells him, hey, this is what's actually happening. And this is what's going to happen. And we are going to find a cure. We just don't know when. And he's like, why are you telling me this? Because you deserve to know the truth and you deserve to know to make a decision. And he decides he's going to run in there. And by him entering the terraformed area, if you will, he also now breathes chlorine. And so he knows what's going to happen, but he tells, you know, his kids, if you will, his niece and nephew, that everything's going to be okay, that, yeah, the government's going to do what they're going to do. And he goes to stasis with them. And when Brian sees him, he doesn't say anything till he sees Fiona alone. He's like, why did you do that? And he's like, because he deserved the no. So, yeah.
Which was juxtaposed to the fact that Fiona has now been told that they believe her father is alive, that they've got surveillance video that her father might be alive. Don't tell the American.
Well, they also tell her that we think Brian knows.
Yes.
But don't tell him, you know.
Like, she's like, don't tell them. We're pretty sure that they're in on this. So, yeah.
So I'm very curious what's going to happen in tonight's episode. I really, really dig this show. I hope
you too.
I would love to see in this episode where Brian and Fiona, you know, confide in each other what they know. So that way we know they're on the same page and they can work together to do all this stuff.
Yep.
But I'm just surprised how good of a show this is, how much I enjoy it.
I really was not expecting it. Like, I thought this was going to be another generic, cheesy manifest. You know, I thought that it was going to be like, oh, God, why are they
dragging
it out? But this turned out to be way better than I expected, and I really look forward to it every week.
Yep, same here. Same here. Oh, let's see here. Lois and Superman, that's okay.
That happened.
Yep. We find out that the Commander Luthor, Captain Luthor from the alternate world, apparently was married to Lois in his world.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because,
you know, we got to have that.
Yep. And, we basically find out that, Morgan Edge is using that red kryptonite, I'm going to call it whatever it is.
X kryptonite,
there we go. To reanimate dead people.
Yep.
And he reanimates one of the people that died in the mine accident that Lois was going to write the story about. And he comes back and his powers are uncontrollable. And he eventually burns up after fighting with Superman. So. And Captain Luthor is in town pretending to be a news journalist trying to get close to Lois, because where Lois Lane goes, so does Superman. So.
Plus, he wants to be near Lois because he still loves her from his world.
Yeah. I like how his computer's like, this is not your Lois Lane. She looks the same to me, but it's not your Lois Lane. Yeah. Like, so,
yeah.
I'm not 100% convinced I'm going to keep watching. Not going to lie.
Nope. Me either.
Watch two new shows, because that's where we're at, I believe, the two new shows.
Let me check.
Other than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that looks like it.
Two new shows, both iShows, one on Amazon called Invincible, animated cartoon. Obviously, animated cartoon. Animated is cartoon. God, animated superhero show based on a comic book is what I was trying to say.
Uh-huh.
And then The Irregulars, which is the group of street people that Sherlock Holmes would hire to help him be his whisperers and eyes and ears.
Yeah.
Let's start with The Irregulars. Don't know if I'm going to keep watching it. How about you?
Ooh, I'm giving it one more episode.
Yep.
I was not that impressed. The trailers really made it look much different than what we got.
Yeah, it was just not good.
It's a
good
teenage romance.
Yeah,
which already, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. So that was unexpected, and it's stupid, sappy teenage romance because, you know, it's the prince who is a hemophiliac and wants to sneak out of the castle and meets the street girl who's rough and tough. And, you know, she is streetwise and he falls for her and she's kind of falling for him. And, oh, it's great.
And she's got her gang with her sister and their two friends. And, you know, then there's unexplained supernatural phenomena going on that everyone in her gang just basically accepts as, okay, this is what's happening. There's birds that are breaking in and stealing babies. And then there's a guy that works at the zoo that can control birds for some unknown reason. And this Sherlock Holmes was never supernatural.
No, no, it was
this
not.
This was all supernatural. And it just wasn't. And they don't even, they never say Sherlock Holmes. They never say Dr. Watson. He says, I'm a doctor. Me and my friend are private detectives, and they live at 221B Baker Street. But if you had no idea what that meant, or you didn't, weren't familiar with that, then you would have no idea this is a like a Sherlock Holmes spinoff.
Right.
All right, I'll watch the second episode, but I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, I'm not either. I like to give them a second episode when I'm torn, because I know that pilots are sometimes worse. Sometimes they're better. But yeah, I was really not impressed. Like, I expected this to be a lot darker, a lot more mystical if it was going to go that route. But instead, it was very CW-y.
Yeah, it's almost like they were like, we want to try to be kind of like Doctor Who, but we don't want to be Doctor Who, but we want to be British, and we want to be, you know, in the late 1800s and and everything. But I don't know. It was a struggle.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't a struggle. Invincible.
No, no, that was not a struggle at all.
I've never read the comic book.
Correct. I haven't either.
Okay. This first episode was like 48 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite part was, you know, 40 minutes into it or so, we finally get the opening credits.
Yeah. It was very interesting, because I like the fact that they throw you into the world. They did what good storytelling is. They started with an action sequence. You know, they didn't start with like dialogue and back play and political drama. No, they started right off with two super villains who are trying to break into the White House to kill the president. And pretty much everyone's like, yeah, well, this happens every other day. You know, it just happens all the time. There's all kinds of automated turrets on the outside of the White House. And they get, they get thwarted by the Guardians of the Globe plus Omni-Man. And we're kind of led to believe that Omni-Man is like, he does his own thing and he doesn't need a group. He can just do it all on his own. So these guys are like, yeah, we're a team. And then they kind of get pissed off because he comes in and, you know, cleans up in a way.
Yep.
So yeah, I really liked the opening sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
But then we get to the crux of the story, which is that, you know, Dad Omni-Man is he has a son who's turning 18 soon and who doesn't have powers, but he expects him to. You know, he's like, yeah, everybody on my home planet, which people, he's very Superman-esque, except for the fact that, like, on his home planet, they all had these powers. It's not generated by the sun. It's
yes, and they are. When they reach a certain age, whatever, they go out and basically go on an excursion and go to other planets and learn about these planets and help the people there and you know, be superheroes. And then, of course, the old story goes, Omni-Man fell in love with a local.
Yep.
And had a baby.
He went native.
Yep.
And he, you know, had this kid, and basically he's like, yeah, he'll get his powers. Don't worry. So you're left thinking, okay, this is going to be a TV series where we build up to the kid getting his powers. Nope. He gets them right off. Like the next scene.
Yep.
He's taking some trash bags out back at work and he chucks one of them into the dumpster, but ends up launching it into space. And there you go. He's got his powers. So now maybe the rest of the series will be him learning to use his powers and figuring them out. Nope. He learns those pretty damn quick, too.
Yeah, the only thing he's still having trouble with is landing, and he's getting the hang of it.
Yep.
But, you know, his dad is trying to teach him what to do. They have this cool thing where they play catch by throwing the ball around the Earth.
Right.
Like, they stand 6 feet apart from each other and throw the ball the opposite way, and then it takes, like, a little while, and then all of a sudden you can hear it coming because he just threw it around the planet. But yeah, Mark there, his son, you know, his dad brings him to his tailor and he comes up with a name for himself finally. And then he, you know, the tailor makes the suit and that he's Invincible is going to be his superhero name. And, you know, we get to see him try to fight some crimes or whatever. But then what did you think of the ending, sir?
Whoa. Okay. I loved the ending. This was so up until the ending part. And people, if you want to watch this and not get spoiled, you should probably turn it off now. But
oh, yeah, yeah, you probably should.
Up until the ending of the first episode, I was like, oh, this is kind of decent. Yeah, it'll be a fun show. Yep, this is kind of cool. But then we get the ending, which is that each member of the Guardians of the Globe gets their little wristwatch or pendant or keychain or whatever activated. And they're called back to the home base because there's some kind of an emergency. And so we get to watch all of them doing their normal thing. You know, Darkwing, who's Batman, thwarting some robbers, and you know, the stretchy one is trying to beat his personal best, and you know, everybody's got their own thing that they're doing. They get pulled back and they get there and they're like, why'd you call us in here? I didn't call you in here. Why didn't you? I didn't call you in here either. And Omni-Man appears and fucking destroys them.
Oh, there's an intense battle that ends with every member of the Guardians of the Globe being viciously murdered or killed by Omni-Man.
Yeah.
You know, like
neck snapped or punched through the torso or ripped in half.
Yeah. You know, Aquarius, and it's violently graphic and whew. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, but why? Why did he do it? I mean, I wanted to watch episode 2 so bad to see if he found out why he did this.
He basically just sits down afterwards panting and it's like, ugh.
Well, he got stove up. I mean, he got.
Yeah.
You know, it was a tough fight.
What was his name?
That's the other thing. Yeah, Red Rush, like the Flash. Yeah,
the Flash. Red Rush, like, got in a lot of good punches on him, really bruised him up hard.
Here's the thing, though. It's not like every superhero on the show that we've seen, or supervillain for that matter, are aliens like Omni-Man is. It's almost like they're from Earth and they're just they somehow for some reason have superpowers. It's not disclosed as to why. It's just accepted. Oh, there's powered people live here and that's just the way it is. So I'm excited for the next episode. I know there's 3 up on Amazon, but I've only watched the first one.
Right. I'm glad to have seen it. It's one of those that I kept hitting the pause button because they do that X-ray thing on Amazon, and there are so many actors doing voices.
Now, granted, my gosh,
Ross Marquand does a ton of them, but it was funny to like hit pause and see that pretty much everybody in here was a Walking Dead cast member.
Yes, there's many.
Kid is Steven Yeun, and you know, we've got Maggie was in there and Abraham was in there and Lenny Bruce is one of them. And I mean, they just everywhere you turned, it was another Walking Dead actor, Ross Marquand, who does pretty much the voice of everybody who's not a main character. But yeah, it's a decent show and I'm looking forward to seeing the next part.
Yep.
Going to find out, you know, why he did this and is this going to be like a Luke and Vader thing? Like, is he going to try to get his son to join him?
I'll go to the dark side. See, I didn't know if maybe it was because he didn't want them going after his son for some reason. Like, I feel like it has to do with his son somehow.
Because remember, he kept saying to his son, he's like, you'll get your powers, you'll get your powers, he'll get his powers. And then when he got him, he was like, flabbergasted, and he told his wife, he was like, I kind of hoped that he didn't get them. You know, he basically seemed to be saying, I think it would have been better off if he didn't get powers.
Oh, he said that point blank. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm looking forward to episode 2.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
We got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but before we get to that, I'll talk about the one movie I watched.
Okay.
I watched News of the World.
Okay.
And I Redboxed it. I can't remember. I don't think you've seen that one, have you?
No, I've seen the trailer, but I haven't seen
it. Okay. So it's the Tom Hanks flick. It takes place in 1870.
It's called News of the World because that's what he does. He goes around to different towns in Texas and he reads the newspaper from around the world. Like he somehow collects the newspapers from around the world and he charges 10 cents. It's almost like that's his show. He goes and discusses the news in the paper and people seem to dig it. Maybe a lot of people couldn't read back then. Or they just like to hear stories about things that are outside their realm. I mean, the Associated Press really wasn't a thing back then. Obviously television wasn't in 1870. So, and, along the way, he somehow gets tasked with the job of escorting this 12-year-old girl or 10-year-old girl, I think probably 12 maybe, who, when she was a young child, was abducted by a Native American tribe who murdered the rest of her family. And she became the daughter of one of the Native Americans and lived with them for several years under their ways, being accepted as one of them. But, of course, she had been kidnapped. And now the Bureau of Indian Affairs, as they called it, is returning her to her actual family. Yep. So it's kind of a road story. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. Okay. A little bit slow at times. It's Tom Hanks. So, you know, he always puts out a solid movie, solid performance, if you will. So,
yeah.
It's worth your time.
Okay. Good to know.
News and trailers.
News and trailers. Had a number of trailers I shared this week.
Yeah, you did.
Started out with Made for Love, which got a full-on trailer. Like, before we got kind of a teaser. Mm-hmm. But this is the new one with Kristen Milioti.
Yep.
And it's on HBO Max. And basically, the premise is that her husband has found a way to link their brains. It's new technology so that they can have the perfect relationship because they will basically be one person in two bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want that. So she's going to escape. And it just looks delightful. It looks like
it does. Yeah. Yep.
The next one for HBO is The Nevers, which is supernatural magic. Looked pretty cool.
It did look pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think that'll be fun. I sent you one for Stowaway, which is coming to Netflix.
Yeah, that looks really good. Except, obviously, the premise is it's a space shuttle that somehow takes off, and some guy was trapped inside it in some way. Like he was unconscious. It's like
he was an engineer who was working on it.
Yeah, and it got lifted off with him aboard. So he's the stowaway, if you will, but everyone seems happy to have him there and they're going to Mars and wow, what is this experience and yada, yada, yada. And oh no, our life support was affected and only three people can survive on it.
Right.
Someone's got to go. And that really was the downer for me. Like, not like, it was almost like, oh, I hate this story now.
Yes, that was it. Because at first it's like, oh, they're going to teach him what they're doing and they're going to like bring him up to speed and give him a job on the spaceship. Oh, wait. Oh, so only three people can make it or they'll all die.
Mm. Yeah. So
I'm probably downer. You don't mean like, oh, that's sad. You mean more like, oh, why are you doing this?
Exactly. Yes. It was more along the lines of like, I have no interest now type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably still watch it, but it's just. Yeah.
Then we got a full trailer this week, finally, for The Suicide Squad.
I like I told you, I would probably actually go watch that in theaters. That looked really good.
Yes, it looks amazing. Well, August 2021, depending on how things are, you know, the theaters might be a viable option at that point.
No, it's going to be on HBO Max. I'm just going to watch it at home.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Good call. I mean, that's what I meant by, I mean, I'm not going to, but I would have. No, it's on HBO Max. I'm going to watch it at home.
And then tonight I sent you the last one. Wrath of Man.
Dude, I don't give a fuck if he's a cyborg or he's supposed to be the $6 million man. I'm going to watch the shit out of this. Oh, yeah.
Jason Statham is Jason Statham.
Yeah. He is the most Jason Statham of all the Jason Stathams he's ever played in this movie. Uh-huh. It's a Guy Ritchie film, which.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, no. I don't care what there's some sort of premise where his son gets killed and he's getting revenge, but he's working for an armored car company. I don't know. The trailer shows him killing
20 people.
And like in the most badass ways, like, you know, like, shooting guys as he's throwing a bag of money to them and then stepping out, brushing himself off while they all light up the car around him. And then taking a step out, shooting. I mean, it's just
Like he said to John Wick, hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, watch this shit I'm going to do next. Yeah. Oh. Watch this shit I'm going to do. So,
yeah.
That was it for trailers.
Yep. You got some news?
I shared some news with you. Black Widow has been pushed back to July 9th, and it's going to be in theaters and on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's – is it going to be the Disney Plus premium where they charge you $30 bucks, the premiere? Okay.
Yeah.
And I know for some people it's like, well, I'd spend more than $30 going to the theater and see it, you know, if you're bringing your whole family. But – so I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I might just wait a couple months for it to come out on – you know, be able to watch.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi was pushed back to November. Mm-hmm. And you know, Regal is supposed to be opening their theaters this Friday, April 2nd. So, you know, and then of course you said that Free Guy got pushed back to August 13th. Yep. You had messaged me that. So, any other news you had?
Oh, a ton.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, so I want to get into that a little bit later on. Meatloaf is making a dating competition show.
I thought he was dead. I'm not going
to
lie.
It's going to be called I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That.
Well, so it's like Truth or Dare, Fear Factory. I honestly thought Meatloaf was dead. I'm not going to lie.
The main reason that I brought this up was because I mentioned this in one of my team meetings at work. And the guy in our team who we all kind of suspected was an avid Trump supporter showed that he was an avid Trump supporter when I mentioned this, because he flipped his shit and started ranting about how a show like this can be put on the air, and yet we've got people who are censoring Winnie the Pooh and Pepe Le Pew, and this is absolutely ridiculous, the world that we live in. Dr. Seuss was just wiped off the map, and they want to go back through the old Looney Tunes cartoons and take the guns out of Yosemite Sam's hands, but why won't they take them out of the video games that our kids play? I'm like, dude, it's just going to be a reality show with Meatloaf. It's funny. Ha ha ha. So, yeah, that was fun for me.
Sure it was.
John Wick 4 and 5 are not going to be done by the original creator.
Really?
Yeah. The Derek Kolstad, he says he's not writing the next two movies. They're basically going to be directed by Chad Stahelski. They'll be shot back-to-back this year. It's a Hollywood thing. He says it wasn't my decision. Now, part of me is like, well, that sucks. But another part of me is like, the third one was so over the top that maybe we do need some fresh perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They announced that Helen Mirren will be playing Hespera, the head villain in Shazam Fury of the Gods, which is not a comic book character, not a real god, completely new character created just for this movie.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's DC, so whatever. Yeah. You know.
Ryan Murphy is back at it. He's making a new movie called Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer Story. And Evan Peters will be playing Jeffrey Dahmer because it's Ryan Murphy.
I think he'll do a good job at it, though.
Yeah. Disney Plus has announced that they are greenlighting a National Treasure TV series.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to have Nick Cage, or at least he won't be the main character. It's going to be a TV series with 10 episodes. The series casts as a reimagining of the franchise with a 20-year-old Latina character named Jess Morales at the center of the story. Jess and her friends will set off an adventure to uncover her mysterious family history and recover lost treasure, following in the footsteps of Nick Cage's Benjamin Franklin Gates. Interesting.
All right.
We're finally, in the U.S., getting the spinoff of What We Do in the Shadows called Wellington Paranormal. It's been picked up by HBO Max and the CW. Nearly 3 years after it originally debuted in New Zealand, it's finally coming to the U.S. It's slated to debut on the CW this summer. Following the broadcast premiere of each episode, it'll be available on the CW's app and on HBO Max. The third season of the series premiered this past February in New Zealand, though it's unknown what the release strategy will be for future seasons on the CW. I'll check it out.
Yeah, me too.
They announced Pierce Brosnan is going to be Dr. Fate in the Black Adam movie, so that's kind of cool. Adam Wingard, who is doing Godzilla vs. Kong, he's directing it. Mm-hmm. They announced this evening, actually, that his next project will be an animated motion picture of the Thundercats.
Ooh.
It'll be based on the cartoon, but it will be going in a different direction. It says it will use the animated series as a jumping off point, but will deal with the characters in a way unique to the movie. It's apparently a direction that the filmmaker had in his head for a while, suggesting that this is less about the studio finding the right man for the job and more about him using his energy to get something off the ground that he's passionate about. So that could be cool.
Yeah, it could.
Don't know if you saw this, but they announced some casting for the Obi-Wan series.
Oh, no, I did not.
Starts shooting in April. Let's see. Heading up the cast is, of course, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. He is joined by Hayden Christensen, who will once again take on the role of Darth Vader. In addition to these headliners, Obi-Wan Kenobi will star Moses Ingram, Joel Edgerton, Bonnie Pease, Kumail Nanjiani, Indira Varma, Rupert Friend, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Sung Kang, Simone Kessel, and Benny Safdie. It says, while all the newly announced actors' roles remain unannounced, Joel Edgerton and Bonnie Pease played Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru in the prequel trilogy, so we'll presumably be replacing those roles. The show will take place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, and so it follows the events of Anakin Skywalker falling further to the dark side and becoming the Sith Lord Darth Vader.
Okay.
So, yeah, that I'm excited, because after what they did with Mandalorian, I'm dead set on seeing this, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna watch it anyways. I love The Mandalorian, and this is yeah.
So now I've got a few news pieces that I want to share with you about the Snyder Cut, because of course, now that it's out, we got some news. Now the first one is interesting, because remember how last week we had a discussion? We were talking about the color of his suit and how it's like a solar powering suit.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a great explanation you gave me. I really appreciated it.
It was the regenerating suit. That's what it was in the comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. So basically, Zack Snyder said that the reason, hold on, where is it? Okay. It says, for those lingering questions, blah, 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 spelled out the answer during an interview with Cinema Blend's Real Blend video show. The director tells the host that in his mind, Superman ditches the black for the red and blue again once he succumbs to the controlling power of the anti-life equation and falls into Darkseid's thrall. He says the actual full fall of Earth is maybe a year or two after Justice League and maybe longer. I don't know, he said. Not 10 years, probably not 5 years, but somewhere around year two. They've been on the lam for a while, because you can imagine that it's been long enough where they've sort of taken their eye off the Batcave as a place that they might be. In previous interviews, Snyder explained the difference between Superman's two looks. The black suit, you could say that in modern Krypton, when he left, everyone was wearing black suits. So it's sort of linked to, in some ways, the old world. I think it's a more direct relationship to his family. In a lot of ways, the blue suit to me represents his kind of place on Earth. The blue suit is his suit of a hero, the suit of his destiny, whereas the black suit is more of a personal one in a lot of ways, more about his family. One is outward, one is inward. And I think that those things, the expression of what could of that could be, let's put it this way. It's always been my intention with the larger arc of the movies to realize that more completely, but I think you get a sense of it here. Yeah.
So, you know what I heard? I heard that Chuck Norris and Superman got in a fight and they made a bet that the loser had to wear their underwear on the outside of their clothes.
Nice. They also interviewed Snyder and asked him about the whole nightmare incident.
Yeah.
You know, the flash forward. This was his realization, and what he said was coming in future movies had he been given the green light. Darkseid would have come to Earth, Lex would have figured out the anti-life equation and given it to him upon his arrival. Because, of course, Lex would have, because, you know.
He's Lex and he's a piece of shit.
He also gives Darkseid the knowledge that if he kills Lois, Superman will succumb to anti-life. The Earth falls and Flash has to go back in time to stop Lois being killed. That's the linchpin of the whole thing.
Yep.
As for the Batman and Joker, Snyder thought it would be rude if he did not have a scene with Ben Affleck's Batman and Jared Leto's Joker together. But the studio wasn't initially so keen. And they told him, no, we don't want it. And he's like, but I'm going to do it anyway.
And then they said, here's $25 million. Go film it.
Yeah. So there was that. And then I talked to my buddy in my gaming group, like I said, about, because he's a big old fanboy. And I asked him, I was like, you know, my biggest problem is why couldn't Darkseid find Earth again? Like, why did it take the mother boxes waking up? And, you know, I spelled it all out like I did here on the podcast. Yep. And he was like, I think it had to do with, like, he had those sorcerers with him and they were controlling the mother boxes and then they got killed. And I was like, no. He was invading. The sorcerers controlled the mother boxes, but he had an invasion force. Like, they traveled across the stars. They knew where they were going. So they should have known. He's like, I don't know. Right after that, somebody asked Snyder the same thing. And Snyder responded. He says, So why and how did Darkseid forget about the location of his most prized possessions? This is Zack Snyder's answer. He almost died when he returned to Apocalypse. He was in a fight for power, and much time passed before he was in a position of power again. And by then, all who had been with him had been slain.
But how did he forget?
Well, Mike, he almost died when he returned to Apocalypse. He was in a fight for power, and much time passed before he was in a position of power again. And by then, all who had been with him had been slain.
But he doesn't remember where it was?
Right? Like, that makes no sense. That is the dumbest reason he could have come up with. He could have said, like, space amnesia, and it would have made more sense.
Yeah, that is pretty weak sauce.
Oh, and then, of course, he gave me that. He's like, look, somebody answered it. And I was like, this is the dumbest excuse ever. So that got me looking, and I found this other thing that was like, hey, here are all the plot holes from that. And there were a couple of them that even I missed, which was, has Batman ever heard of the U.S. military? It says, an extensive flashback to times predating recorded history, narrated by Wonder Woman, we see the first attempted Darkseid attack on Earth, and he's fighting people with sticks and rocks. Basically, he's fighting the gods, and he's fighting the Atlanteans, and he's fighting the Amazonians. They all still exist, minus maybe the gods,
right?
But they all beat him soundly. And in fact, one of the things is, why is it that some random Viking almost killed Darkseid by carving a axe through him? But they're like,
oh, that wasn't Thor trying to stop Thanos. That was the first, that was the exact thing. When that happened, I literally went, should have gone for the head.
Yeah. And that's what they actually said in here. They're like, even if it was the version of Thor, you know, because there were old gods there, the dark side in the comics would have throunced him. I mean, just absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah.
But it says, you know, no offense to the Atlanteans or the Warriors of Themyscira, with no slight intended to their pagan gods, if Darkseid came up short against a bunch of ancient weapons, what kind of chance does he stand against modern military tech? According to what Wonder Woman tells us, the people and cultures of Earth don't need to unite this time. The United States Armed Forces can squash Darkseid with his flying monkeys outside without any outside assistance or much fuss. Yeah.
It's true.
I like this one. Why doesn't Barry Allen recognize Bruce Wayne? For that matter, why don't the people in the fishing village recognize Bruce Wayne? Literally, the man is the most famous person on the planet. Everybody knows Bruce Wayne. It'd be like Jeff Bezos. Even when he says, I'm Bruce Wayne, he's like, who?
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Why doesn't Martian Manhunter help with any of the fighting? The fuck is his problem?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, where we actually see him earlier in the movie when he pretends to be Martha Kent to get Lois back to work.
and then decides just to hide out until the end when he presents himself to, you know, Batman and be like, I'm here to help if you need me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you handled that yourself, but, you know, hey, I'm here, maybe. I love this one. It says, don't certain deaths seem a little fishy? It says, when Cyborg experiences a vision of a possible future right before the gang uses their mother box to raise Superman from the dead, he sees Darkseid impaling Aquaman on his trident and the dead body of Wonder Woman on its way to burn in a Viking-style funeral. In the epilogue dream sequence, Batman tells the Joker that Harley Quinn died in his arms. Nobody has a vision of Batman, Superman, the Flash, or Cyborg getting killed off. The only heroes we see or hear about dying all happen to star in recent DC films in which Zack Snyder had no creative involvement. In fact, Wonder Woman and Aquaman both surpassed the box office success of Man of Steel and, by some metrics, Batman vs. Superman. That's not the case for Birds of Prey and the Fantabula, blah, 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 but the all-female anti-hero team-up received better reviews than either of Snyder's two aforementioned films and attracted an enthusiastic cult following. So, did he kill them off in the vision of the future because he's jealous of their success?
I don't know about that one. That seems very conspiracy theory laden, but who knows?
Maybe. I love it. It absolutely is. It is the most wonky and suspicious, but I just love it because it sounds petty enough to be something that he would do.
It does seem kind of convenient, but yeah.
So I think that's it for my news. You want to talk to us about Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Do you want to talk to us about it? Like, what did you think of the episode?
I liked it.
Me too. I liked it a lot. We actually got the buddy cop premise in this episode, yes, if you will.
Yep. We got to see the new Captain America in action, and he's really good at what he does, but he's also kind of a smug. I mean, I say smug douche. Maybe that's just me siding with Bucky and Falcon and thinking, you know, oh, he's not Cap. Maybe he's just a really nice guy, but.
Well, he does kind of explain, like, we get to see him, we get his backstory of what he's accomplished, basically almost kind of like why he was chosen to be Captain America, how he has a big shoes to fill, but he's not trying to fill them, he's trying to go his own way by doing, you know, and at first I thought, based on what I saw, this Captain America was going to be kind of like what Steve Rogers was when he first became Captain America, you know, before he actually, you know, he was just a PR guy. And then he finally is like, I need to get in the fight. And he got right into the fight. I thought this guy, based on the fact it opened up on him, like Good Morning America, Today Show, whatever it was, that he was good, that he was a PR guy. But then we see him later on, you know, in Germany, that he's fighting, you know, he's actually doing operations and doing missions and he's fighting.
Yep.
They never say that he has the super soldier serum.
No.
But the way he handles the shield, he clearly must.
You know, the interview lady said that they tested him physically and mentally, and he was like off the charts.
Yeah.
But people always like to say that. Show me these charts.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously, there's a super soldier serum out there because, you know, when Bucky and Sam go to the warehouse. And there's 8 people there, and then they go after them because they're stealing this medication, and then they think there's a hostage, and Bucky gets in the back of the trailer, and the hostage is actually the leader of the Flag Smashers. And then they get into a fight with these people, and it's
Freckles McGee.
Yeah, and they determine that they've all had the super soldier serum, like all 8 of these people have. So it's a hard fight with everybody. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I feel like this dude, like John Walker in the comics had the super soldier serum. John Walker in the comics went crazy because his family was murdered because he was publicly known, and his family was murdered and he lost it and he murdered a bunch of people. And then Steve Rogers came back to be Captain America. I don't know. Does this John Walker have family? Was that established? I know he's got a best friend. He's got a wife maybe that we kind of met.
But yeah, they haven't really established much more.
Yeah. I enjoyed the episode. You know, I enjoyed the back and forth between Bucky and Sam. I enjoyed, you know, their begrudging friendship. I did enjoy when they had, when he was, he missed his therapy session, so he got arrested, but the therapist came down and basically Cap got Bucky out of jail and was like, oh, he's going to be not be able to check in all the time and he's going to, you know, need to go where I need him to go. And that's all there is to it. So that gets Bucky out of his court ordered therapy or presidential ordered therapy as part of his pardon. But I liked how. I liked Bucky being real with Sam and being like, why did you give up the shield? And Sam's like, well, maybe you guys can't accept this or know it, but I didn't feel it was my shield to have. I didn't feel like I could replace Steve. And Bucky's big thing is, well, if Steve was wrong about you, maybe he was wrong about me. And I don't know. I enjoyed that. I just enjoyed it.
What did you think about Isaiah?
So... is there an Isaiah in the comics I'm not aware of?
Oh, yes, there is.
Okay.
This is definitely based on a real story in the comics.
Okay, I'm not familiar with it then. Are you?
I read up on it.
Okay.
Basically, it was a 7-issue arc, and they told the story of the Black Captain America. Mm-hmm. Back then, I believe he was in Vietnam, not Korea like this one.
Yeah.
But they just had to adjust it for time. But yeah.
Yeah.
They did some rotten experiments trying to recreate the super soldier serum, and they killed off so many people in the process. He's the one that survived. And yeah. it's like they said in the show, where basically they kept sending him on suicide missions. And at one point he stole one of Captain America's suits and dressed up as Captain America to go and liberate, and it was supposed to be a suicide mission, and he survived. And when he came back, they arrested him for stealing Captain America's suit and threw him in jail. He spent 17 years in isolation, in solitary confinement, and kind of went insane. He had dementia and he lost his mind. But he was considered a hero once he was let out. He was considered a hero. He was kind of pardoned. But it was still not enough. They really wronged him. And that was what the whole story was supposed to be, was the mistreatment of African Americans and people of color in general.
Okay. Well, I'm intrigued by his character. I found it interesting that Sam had never heard of him, didn't know about him, and he was almost mad at Bucky for not telling him that Isaiah existed.
Mm-hmm. The kid that answered the door is his grandson, I believe. And in the comics, he goes on to have a run with some of the Super Soldier Serum himself. Okay. And I can't remember what his name is.
See, for me, I don't know if when I'm watching John Walker in the series, because I know what happens to him in the comic book. So I don't know if they're gonna make him crazy, if they're going to have him lose his mind or go over the edge, or what they're going to do. So I don't know if I'm watching him with every when he tells them to stay out of his way, if he's being ultra aggressive because we know he's going to snap, or is it just because he wants them to stay out of his way so he can do his job? You know what I mean?
We don't know if this story that is being told right here is the setup to him going crazy and then eventually becoming U.S. agent, or is this just telling the story of this is the next Captain America, and when we get into the Young Avengers, he's going to be the Captain America that they look up to?
Yeah, or am I on the same boat you were, like you said earlier, where I'm on Bucky and Sam's side and fuck this guy?
Right. So.
But either way, this show is well worth your time.
It is.
No doubt about it.
It's 6 episodes. They're about an hour each. So, you know, they said that at the end of it, it's going to be pretty much a 6-hour Marvel movie.
Yep. So.
Yep.
But I guess that's it for me this week.
Okay. That's all I got, too.
So you got anything else?
No. Well,
all right. Well, that's our show, I guess. Again, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
Talk to you next week.